Call the meeting of the HDC Audit Committee to order in the presence of the quorum. First item is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting, which was held on January 18th this year. Any changes? Correction? Motion to approve?
Sure.
Second? All in favor? Okay, any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. Kathy, you can go through the agenda items.
Yeah, so we have a fairly routine agenda today. So Chuck, you are deputy controller, will walk us through the first quarter financial statements for fiscal 2024. Followed by Ellen, who will present the debt and risk report. And Mary Helen will present a report on credit risk as well as an interim audit report. And then for your approval, we'll be asking for the fiscal year 2024 self-report audit plan as well as the approval of the interim charter.
Thank you. So the next item is the presentation of the first quarter financial report.
Thank you, Harry. Good morning, everyone. The first quarter of fiscal year 2024 financials covers the period November 1st, 2023 through January 31st, 2024. As of the end of the first quarter, revenues exceeded expenses by $238.3 million. Compared with the same period in fiscal year 2023, when net income was $169.1 million. The increase of $69.2 million was a result of a combination of increase in mortgage loan portfolio and interest and higher interest rate, as well as improvement in the fair value of the corporation's investment securities. Operating revenues for this period was $220.9 million compared to $184.1 million during the same period last year. Mortgage interest earnings increased by $39.1 million or 25.7% from a year ago. Non-operating revenues, which mainly consist of investment earnings, saw an increase largely due to the improvement and the fair market value. Realized investment earnings increased by $14.6 million from a year ago. Operating expenses were $128.9 million, an increase of $19.9 million, primarily related to the $17.9 million increase in bond interest expense, reflecting the higher interest rate environment. Total assets were at $25.2 billion, an increase of $728 million, or 3% in fiscal year end 2023. This increase was mainly due to the corporation's ongoing lending activities, as mortgage loan advances were at $595.1 million through this period. The mortgage portfolio net of conduit loans was $20 billion and comprises 79.3% of total assets is currently performing relatively well. Total liabilities were $20.9 billion, a net increase of $489.7 million, or 2.4% from fiscal year 2023. Bonds and debt obligations increased by a net of $201.1 million. New issuances were at $425.9 million, while principal repayments totaled $189.2 million. Net position at the end of the first quarter was $4.3 billion, up by $238.3 million from fiscal year end 2023. That concludes my remark. Any questions?
The only question I have is if there's a change in interest rate, it's not going to be up. Going to be down. So are we locking in any higher interest rates in our investment portfolio?
So we're looking at that. You know, we do have hedges on a lot of floating rate, but we're not fully hedged. So even as rates drop, some of our floating rate will go down as well. So we would say we're balanced a bit in that way. Although with our hedges, we are looking at that. We do have several portfolio of securities that we are holding on to that are below market. But they're running off. So we are with this issuance and the June issuance, we're going to look to lock in like at least a year out. We still have to keep pretty liquid because we need the funds. Most of the funds are restricted. Working on that as best we can while maintaining the proper liquidity.
The other response I'll just give you, I think we're properly hedged on a business basis, but interest rates up or down will have impacts in both directions for us. So they're always, as you know, going to be offset, but I think that's a function of properly hedging the business risks that we operate. We don't view the rate change as something good or bad on a speculative basis. We just view it as helpful or hurtful in terms of the business that we have to do. So,
Kevin. Just curious.
Yeah. Yep. So we're working on that. We're slowly trying to buy securities out.
So. The other thing about it, not, we don't have a whole lot of time today, but the forward securitization work that you all did with Rich Froehlich too,
right,
has actually turned out to be a very good thing for us right now. We've actually got some money at favorable rates to do a lot of good work that we still want to do.
Exactly. We thought it would be best. Low rates, but we continue to do it because of locks in rates that we can use for preservation that are lower than taxable rates. So it's raised them down. It's not a favorable tool that we use.
Okay. And, Eric and I had a conversation about New York Community Bank, so I assume we're
yes, so
home free, basically.
We do have deposits with New York Community Bank. They were higher. When Signature went out, we set a limit of $500 million per bank and fully collateralized with the Federal Home Loan Bank letter of credit. So we could be collateralized with securities, we said it's safer for the corporation. So they all our bank deposits do have Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. With the merger of Signature New York Community Bank to Flagstar, our deposits were a little bit higher, and we since have gotten down to about $500 million of CD with them, a large CD that's comes due on April 1. So then that will even lower below the $500 million. We had discussions with Federal Home Loan Bank in New York, talking about the mechanics when a few weeks ago when there's all the news about the New York Community Bank. And we have them all filled out, ready to draw if need be, but it's not the case. And we've had some conversation with the bank. We feel we're at a comfortable level. Our deposits are all protected. Yeah, we are opening some new bank accounts as well and buying some securities in the hope of locking in some of the higher rates too. So we still have that open.
Okay, because I wouldn't rely on the moosh.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, and just real quick too on that, the bigger question probably for the city is going to be a policy question about what happens to that stabilized stock in that portfolio. We think it's going to flow a little bit differently than the negotiation that happened with FDIC around the Signature portfolio. This looks like it might be a little more of an aggressive business plan. We should probably, on the tenant, housing, neighborhood enforcement side, pay pretty close attention to with our HPD partners.
We did get a contact at the bank for Civic to speak.
Yeah.
Our connections there. So
more to come on that.
Okay. You're up next in debt report.
Thank you. Corporation's debt report is as of February 29th, 2024. The last report presented to the audit committee was as of December 31st, 2023. During this time, the corporation did not issue any bonds or redeem any bonds. Corporation's debt outstanding as of February 29, 2024, is approximately $16 billion. Corporation's statutory debt capacity is $19 billion.
Any question? All right, you can continue with the investment report.
Yeah. Corporation's investment report is as of March 4, 2024. Funds under management total approximately $6.1 billion. And this report reflects routine investment activity.
Comments? Okay, Mary, you're up next on the credit risk.
So the report before you was dated February 29th, 2024, and previous reports in the audit committee was dated December 1st. While there were no new group counterparties, there were numerous rating actions taken by New York Community Bank, also the Supervisor Bank. In response to the bank's Q4 2023 earnings release, you know, substantial unanticipated loss related to multiple house properties, coupled with management and board realignment and perceived material weaknesses in our controls. Moody's downgraded the bank twice, February 7th and March 1st, respectively, taking the long-term from A3 to EA3. Subsequently, on March 15th, Moody's then upgraded the bank to BA2 from BA3 with a positive outlook, citing the bank's closing of $1.5 billion in capital commitments from several institutional investors, as well as receiving an unqualified opinion on their 2023 financial statements. HDC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures being with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo exposure is primarily from construction letters of credit covering 23 projects and 5 interest rate hedges. Investments rated AA or higher were 47% of total investments versus 46% at the last report, while investments rated BBB were not rated, 48% of total investments versus 40% of the last report. Just to remind you, all investments rated BBB are not rated are fully collateralized by federal letter of credit or U.S. Treasury Agency securities. The weighted average maturity of the portfolio was 2.3 years versus 2.42 years. Finally, HDC exposure to liquidity providers and swap providers was unchanged at approximately 740 million.
There being none, you can continue with the internal auditor.
And in the interest of time, I'm actually going to combine these two because these are audits we do all the time, and I'm not going to go into the objectives of the field. But since the last reports of the audit, two internal audits were completed, expenses and audits expenses report, and a copy of each report. Just to summarize, on completion of both audits, we found no matters involving internal controls and operation tier fixes. We found corporations guidelines are effective and the expenses and residence office expenses were generally processed with supporting documentation and correctly recorded according to the policies in the. And just to remind you, these are required audits that we are required to complete each year pursuant to 3 MOU.
We need to approve the fiscal 2024 second quarter audit plan.
Okay. The proposed projects for the second quarter of 2024 include the continuation of two advisory projects related to the annual review of succession planning and business continuity, one assurance audit, one financial review, and the continuous monitoring. Second quarter of 2024.
Do I have a motion to approve the second quarter audit plan?
So moved.
Again, all in favor? Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. And Mary, the approval of the internal audit charter.
Thank you. So I'm pleased to present the revised internal audit charter for your review and approval. The internal audit charter is required to be reviewed and approved every 5 years. So it means upon a change in the audit committee chair, change internal audit reporting, or change in the Institute of Internal Auditors or standards. The last time the audit committee approved provisions was March 20th, 2019, 5 years ago. There were 4 substantive provisions to the internal charter. First was an update to the development, review, and approval of the audit plan from annual to quarterly to reflect changes we made last year to keep the audit committee. Second was an update to the IIA standards reference to reflect the updated document from the IIA that was released on January 9th this year. Third, we incorporated an annual minimum continuing professional education or CPE requirement for all internal audit staff members, as recommended in the quality assessment review that was performed last year. And fourth was an update to the frameworks utilized in performing information systems audits. So the members of the audit committee are expected to approve this.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the internal audit charter?
So moved.
Okay, second. Okay, all in favor? Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. And is there any other business? There being no other business, I'd like to call a motion for the audit committee to adjourn. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned. It's.